prayer, and faith, and prayers of faith. So there's this mystery thing called prayer, just like there's this mystery thing called faith. And somehow, the two fit together. And when we fit them together correctly, voila! That little voila word literally means, there it is. It's kind of amen, so it is, brought into seeable actuality, because faith is the assurance of things unseen, but we need to see it to know it's real. Or if we can't see it, we at least need to feel it. We need to have this passionate, tear-dripping or ear-splitting prayer moving out from within us, like the Holy Spirit himself is trying to crawl up from our hearts through our words to get out and bring the prayed-for thing to pass. That's effectual, fervent prayer. That's what gets God's attention enough that he hears and responds. And we know this because when Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, he answered, "Pray like this, 'Be overcome with intense feeling, and then the kingdom of my Father will come to bear.'" No, he didn't actually say that. He didn't say we had to feel any single thing at all. Because faith is not about feeling. Faith is about knowing who the Lord is, and out of a heart that is submitted to him, in agreement with him, being convinced he cannot be other than what he is. So when we pray, it doesn't have to be a heart-wrenching, spit-hurling demonstration. We can simply go to the Father, through Christ's blood that cleanses us and makes the way for us to boldly draw near, thank you, Jesus, and say, "Father, you are in heaven. You are the one who rules over the earth, and you say that when we ask, we receive. So I am asking, Lord, for your kingdom to come in this situation, for your will to be done here on earth the same way it is in heaven. I am asking that you would provide what is needed for your will to be done, and I am asking that you would forgive the sins that get in the way of your will being done, and that I would forgive anyone who has sinned against me, because your word says that if I forgive a person's sins, those sins are forgiven, but that if I do not forgive those sins, they are not forgiven. And I know that your will cannot come to bear where sin resides, because your will is that sin does not reside. And your word also says that if I will forgive others' sins, you will forgive me. And I acknowledge that I have sins in my heart, places that are not like you, that need forgiveness. So let these places not have dominion over me or anyone else involved in this situation, but deliver us from them, from the evil of them. I pray all this because I know that the kingdom is yours, Lord. The power is yours. You have the rule, reign, authority, and ability to accomplish this, and the glory is yours. Holy God, all the glory is yours. Amen." And when our hearts truly believe and mean that, prayer is less a mystery thing, and it doesn't require voila. The amen is enough. And it doesn't require gut-wrenching passion, because effectual fervent prayer isn't emotional prayer. It's prayer that is convinced of God. There may be emotion in it. Conviction can stir passion inside us, certainly. So can longing, and prayer is often birthed from longing. Hebrews 5 tells us that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane with a loud cry and tears. He sweat blood, but not to get God to move. He prayed this way to work through the things inside him that didn't want, in and of themselves, to go through the suffering of the cross. He prayed this way to be delivered from the temptation to choose his own will over the Father's. He prayed this way so that in his own heart, and therefore in his own life, the kingdom of God, his rule and reign, could come, and the will of God could be done. But when Jesus spoke about prayer, he said over and over again, "Ask and believe." That's it. Ask and believe. That's the great secret of how prayer and faith fit together. May we be convinced of God today. Not convinced he'll do what we want him to. Convinced of who he is. And maybe that means we need to get into the Word to discover who he is. Maybe it means the thing we need to ask and believe for is that he'll reveal to our hearts who he is, which may mean, will definitely at some point mean, we need to pray the Gethsemane prayer until we're delivered from our own temptations to choose our will over the Father's and are willing to suffer the cross. But even that requires being convinced of God. We will never choose the cross if we don't know who the Lord is, because he will not be worth it to us. But when we do know him, he can ask anything of us, and we'll give it. And we can ask anything of him, and he'll give it too. Amen.